The Frick Show. It's all about The Frick Show on Paris Live Radio. Good morning. This is Max Kaiser. I'm here with Stacey Herbert, of course, and we'll be discussing Le Fric, which is French for the money, the big money thing everyone's concerned about. But not from the perspective of how do you make more money or how do you even manage your money, but how does money circling the globe screw us all? That's basically what it's all about. Okay. The screwing potential of money. What the global.
What a great way to start your morning here in Paris.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm talking about. It's either, well, there's also another big story that came out, which could be a little bit more interesting for our listeners here on a Friday morning. Talking about female orgasms.
Okay.
Here in the Guardian newspaper. I picked this up. And apparently you've got something which appears to be orgasm arbitrage. And I'm curious what your thoughts are here, because they did a study. They did a little statistical study.
Uh-huh. Statistical?
What did I say?
No, statistical.
I said statistical.
I know. I was pretending to not understand you. I know you meant statistical.
What did I say? Statistical?
And I was just pretending our audience might have heard sadistical.
Never run across a room with a pair of scissors. Never start a sentence with statistical. Okay?
Okay.
So anyway, you got this arbitrage going on.
Uh-huh.
Where the average woman apparently takes 12 minutes to achieve orgasm.
Uh-huh.
The average man
12 seconds.
Well, he achieves orgasm during the act of lovemaking in something like 4 minutes, I think they say.
Uh-huh.
4.037 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is that a woman many times does not achieve orgasm during sex as a way to select a man, you know.
Yeah.
Only a man that can keep it going long enough,
mm-hmm,
will the woman decide is worthy of her, you see.
Okay.
So genetically it's built in this way so that a man and a woman are able to explore each other's compatibility through this what I'm assuming to be orgasm arbitrage between the sheets.
Well, that doesn't make sense on an evolutionary sort of basis. I would say that means that three times lucky. Maybe that's where the phrase comes from. Because if a man takes 4 minutes,
yeah,
it's the third guy who's going to be there when she
You're talking about an orgy now. If you've got three men in succession, then yeah, okay, 12 minutes later, assuming you're hot swapping your penile apparatus, you'll achieve an orgasm, but then, you know, you're left with the conundrum of the woman having to marry all three men.
Uh-huh.
Or having some kind of relationship. So it's, you know, it sounds like a new sitcom on NBC in America.
Uh-huh.
You know, three men and a tardy orgasmic woman.
Well, you know, this was the way it used to be, however, before patriarchal societies. We had matriarchal societies, and
mm-hmm,
Cleopatra, as
mm-hmm,
well, famously had several fluffers,
mm-hmm,
in her life.
Mm-hmm. Fluffer being a term from the porno industry.
Yes, yes. But, you know, preparing the woman,
yeah,
or the man,
mm-hmm,
in the case of the porno industry.
Mm-hmm.
But originally it was for the women. I guess maybe she had two men before her husband came in.
I see what you're saying. So
yeah.
Cleopatra had men who kind of warmed her up.
Yeah.
And before,
yeah,
she brought in her main lover.
Yes.
Because she filled the arbitrage,
mm-hmm,
in that way.
Yes.
Well, it's good to have money, I guess, you know? It's great to be able to bring in a whole harem. It makes sense, I mean, to be, from the woman's point of view.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, all these sort of polygamous relationships you see in the Middle East and Mormon relationships where it's like several women and one man. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, not according to this gene therapy, the study of the history of the genetic orgasm arbitrage.
Exactly.
It makes no sense.
You know,
one of the reasons why we're in such a state of chaos in the world today is because there's been the downgrading of the female in her orgasmic needs versus the man who has, for some fluke of nature, taken over the power struggle, running the world and running it into the ground.
Okay.
We need more of the women. What do you call it? The I'm going blank now. And so every time during the show at this stage, I have an oxygen deprivation problem. A matriarchy.
A matriarchy.
There are still several matriarchies alive and well in the world today. There's one in a couple in China.
Yeah.
I believe there's a couple in Greece.
In China?
Yep.
Where?
Xing Xiaoping.
Okay.
As a small town near the island of Huangshan.
I think more indigenous societies have it. Like people who haven't been interfered with by Western society.
Yes, the not pre-verbal, but the term that Teddy Goldsmith uses all the time.
Vernacular.
Vernacular societies before the states, before the creation of the state, before the creation of a corporate world, there were the indigenous or the Indian tribes getting along famously. And you're saying in this period you had more of a matriarchy.
Yes, and I think you probably still do. There's that tribe right now in the Amazon. Remember, nobody has actually ever seen them, mm-hmm. and yet there are signs of them, and apparently they're being driven out by these logging companies.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, going on to this article, they say that apparently the love between two people is broken down into 9 overall categories. There's the grown-up version that involves mutual trust, recognition, and support. There's the Cupid's dart variety in which couples think Antony and Cleopatra. See, there's Antony and Cleopatra again. But
see?
Little did Antony know that Cleopatra had 2 fluffers
yeah.
warming her up
yeah,
before
yeah.
she saw Antony.
Yeah.
So he comes in. He's like, I'm a stud. She came. he didn't
in
know that.
In 4 minutes.
yeah, there was 2 guys before him.
No.
This was the secret of Cleopatra.
Yeah,
she
yeah.
could convincingly. She was like the first Meg Griffin,
Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan, you know, to do the ecstasy in the shower scene
yeah.
from that movie When Harry Met Sally and then ripped off by Herbal Essence.
Yeah, in the shower scene. yeah. It was actually in a Jewish cafe
oh,
in New
yeah.
York. Remember?
It's a Jewish cafe. it was like Carnegie Deli.
Exactly.
Meg Ryan.
Exactly.
Doing the orgasm.
Yeah,
you see?
Exactly.
So this is what happened there. Then you've got the Cupid's dart variety in which couples, Burt Lancaster and Deborah Kerr in From Here to Eternity are also swept by blind passion. Number 3 in the list is hedonistic love, concerned with personal and perhaps fleeting pleasure, the theme of much of Hollywood film noir.
Yeah.
Number 4, love as the ultimate connection, an essentially romantic view.
Uh-huh.
5, the demythologized
demythologized
love that recognizes the need for hard work, patience, and compromise to make things work. That sounds like Puritans. That sounds boring.
Yeah.
That sounds like...
That's too much hard work.
Yeah, that sounds like those farmers in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the Amish,
people.
Yeah.
You're forgetting all your
I'm
words
just kind
today.
Of like, see, we've got... I think I'm going to figure out how we fill into this. Then next on the list is love as the transformative adventure, the emotional roller coaster experience of a Bridget Jones...
Okay, I identify with that right now.
the roller coaster. Roller coaster thing. Okay, then from Cupid's arrow to a role-bound relationship dictated by society's expectations, the experience of the tortured couple in David Lean's film Brief Encounter.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's quite a mouthful.
Yeah.
Who came up with that? Some Brit. Then from Cupid's arrow to the security of close friendship. Oh yeah, that's when the guy gets cuckolded. This is what all French films are about. The guy is downgraded to good friend.
Oh, no.
And then he stumbles around Paris having been cuckolded. You know, this is all a French cinema,
isn't
it?
What's wrong with being a good friend?
It's being cuckolded. You know, you're smoking cigarettes, you're drinking coffee, you're drinking yourself to death because you've been cuckolded, because you've been downgraded to the so-called good friend status.
Well, those are the two. For a man, the worst thing to hear is, oh, but you're such a good friend. You know, I still like you as a friend.
Most terrible.
For a woman... The worst thing to hear is like, but you're so cute. A woman is never cute, and she doesn't like to be cute. She's sexy. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. Never cute.
But guys are cute, though.
Guys can be cute.
Yeah. But I never understood that growing up. I thought when women, you know, I was growing up, I was a kid, girls would say, he's cute or you're cute.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, well, how do you mean? You mean like I'm kind of girly? You know? And I was very off-putting.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that they were trying to pick me up.
Yeah, no, that means she fancies you.
Yeah, well, I'd screwed up for like 10 years on that one. I could have gotten to know so many more women.
Max guys are the only 40-year-old virgin.
Then what else we got here? The deity partnership love, in which two people become a single unit and tend to finish each other's sentences.
Oh, my God.
What do they call it? The deity?
Deity.
No, it's not deity.
How do you spell
it? Oh, it's diadic. Diadic.
Dialectic. Didactic.
Didactic.
They become one.
D-Y-A-D-I-T. Diadic. So it's like dialectic-ish. This is where we fall in, I think.
Dial-a-dick?
Dial-a-dick. It's just 1-800-GET-HARD. Dial-a-dick. No, honey, that's not what I said.
That's the one where the husband is actually a shirtlifter.
I don't know what that means, but I'm back at the deli, Carnegie Deli. The shirtlifter is Puff.
Yeah, it's a very British phenomenon where a lot of married men are actually cottagers. They go into the public restrooms and apparently do all sorts of stuff in there between the cubicles and the men's room.
All right. Like that singer, Michael, whatever his name
Michael,
is.
Yeah, but he
was finishing each other's sentences.
But he was famous. He's out. He's gay.
So he's out of the cottage.
In Britain, they tend to pretend that they have the wife, the kids, the big house.
All right.
And then they go cottaging.
Well, what happened to dogging? You know, I read about this for about 6 months ago in the UK London press. Apparently, dogging was big, where couples would go to a park, presumably to walk their dog, but to have sex in public.
Yes.
And people would watch.
Actually, this was amongst strangers.
Okay, strangers, yeah. But see, the way they got out of the house, they'd say, honey, I got to go walk the dog. Then they'd go meet strangers in the park, and they would have sex, and people would watch.
Well, this is for younger people. I think it's a phenomenon around the world, really. You know, in Japan, they all get together via the internet. They agree to meet at one place. They get there, and they kill each other. They kill themselves.
Well, they have suicide parties.
Yeah, they have suicide parties. And in Britain, they have dogging parties where they, you know, a whole bunch of strangers agree to meet at one park. Two of them have sex, the others watch, and then they all go away. They disappear.
Yeah, it's funny in Japan how they have this culture of suicide. And it's ritualized with the harikari, right?
This is
a ritualized suicide.
Yeah.
And it's very precise. You need to put the blade in at a certain angle and cut across your heart and then cut down through your heart. Like for me, I couldn't, you know, once I see one drop of blood, of course,
you
pass
out.
But I guess that's the point, is that a real man can commit suicide in
a real woman.
A manly way. Is this a woman can do this as well?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Well, why
did they
not?
Lose face? They've committed some grievous military error or something?
No, because they have to live in Japan.
Well, you know, on this show, which is, of course, The Frick Show, here on Paris Live Radio, parislive.fm, or Canal Satellite Channel 118, Noose, Channel 35, NC, Numericable, Channel 155. You can reach us on all of those coordinates. And soon, you'll be able to listen to us in your car, because we need a lift to the station next week, and we'll do the show personally for you in your car.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
If you want to rent us out for your party, you can rent Stacy and Max to come to your party at your home. We'll do the show at your home, and you can be part of the show, and you rent us out for a small fee, and we'll do the Frick Show chez vous.
Yes.
Frick Show chez vous. It's a new service that we're offering here, where we come and do the show in your home. And you can be naked. We can be naked. Doesn't matter.
All I require is a nice bottle of wine.
There's no video.
Organic wine.
It's all radio. And radio, Paris Live Radio, is the voice of the insurrection. You know, this is what I think about it. There's an insurrection going on around the world. We talk about it on this show. The world is engaged in an insurrection.
Insurrection everywhere. Everywhere.
Against the Anglo-Saxon pigs.
Yes.
The Anglo-Saxon pigs in America, in the UK. Okay? We're American, and I'm telling you, it's no good. I'm not going to defend
America. You don't want to be like us. You don't want to be like us, okay?
I'm not going to try and defend the American system. I know it stinks. I know. I've seen the damage.
It used to be good before Reagan came along and got rid of the New Deal. And, well, after we killed all the Indians.
It's the industrial military complex warned by
Eisenhower
in the 50s.
Yes.
Okay? This is the beginning of the end. Then you had the McCarthy period, which was bad. Then in 1974 with the Nixons and the episode with Watergate. You know, and everything's, and the background's been going downhill. Now, it's never been as downhill, though. It's not like ups and downs. It's been going steadily downhill.
You know, the trend has reversed. It's gone back to that 1974 period, though, because Mark Felt, Deep Throat, is out, and he's ready to you know, be a star again. Deep Throat 2.
Yeah, there's a huge insurrection against the imperialist American dogs around the world. And
from Bolivia to Venezuela to
the Europeans saying no to the European Constitution, which was not really a European Constitution. It was
a
prospectus. It was an American corporate prospectus,
yeah,
which outlines how America can come into this continent and totally screw everybody,
yeah,
by introducing draconian predatory banking laws.
They want to come kill you because, look, this is... This is a story... Okay, I want to get a word in edgewise here because this is a really important story.
Okay.
In the UK, the UK drugs industry, the pharmaceutical industry, not the heroin one, has called for urgent changes to speed up the way doctors start prescribing drugs after an unprecedented decline in sales over the past 4 months, the first slump since records began. So the head of the Association for British Pharmaceutical Industry, Vincent Lawton, has said that doctors' rewards should be linked to their prescription record.
Yeah.
So instead of celebrating that Brits, for some reason, seem healthier in the first few quarters of this year. It's not to do with money, because obviously all your prescriptions are pretty much free in Britain, and your healthcare is free. And but they require less prescriptions, and for this, they get the GPs get blamed. They're punished.
It's obscene that they're telling the GPs that they get a commission for all the drugs they sell, and they're blaming GPs for the lack of drug use in the UK, for not pushing more drugs.
No.
This is like that scene in Glengarry Glen Ross when the guy comes in and he lectures the salesman and says, you guys have got to start selling more. The guy who sells the most gets the new Cadillac. The second guy gets the steak knives. You know, and this is the culture of American capitalism seeping into something which should be relatively immune to this type of predatory behavior, which is the medical industry. But no,
it's the pharmaceutical industry.
And the pharmaceutical industry, there's no keeping these vultures at bay. And you've got doctors being yelled at because they're not pushing enough of these prescription drugs, which help the pharmaceutical companies, shareholders, and insiders cash out on stock options. It's absolutely the most vulgar, hideous, disgusting example of predatory monopolist behavior I've seen in weeks.
Yes.
And
yes,
this, to me, is terrorism. This is terrorism. This is pharmaceutical terrorism.
So,
you know,
so,
compared to Osama, you know, Osama looks like Mother Teresa compared to these pharmaceutical companies. He looks like a baking good housekeeping seal of approval cookies.
Well, you know, prescription drugs are actually one of the number one causes of death. It's in like the top
because
10.
People they don't know how to take them. They're not instructed how to take them, because once you sell them,
but plus they just kill you.
Well, yeah, plus once you buy them, who
look
cares?
Look at Vioxx, Celebrex.
How about Viagra? Now it causes blindness. You know,
well,
I mean, I don't need Viagra. I mean, I just look at your brown hair and your green eyes, and that's all I need.
The hell are you talking about? I have blonde hair and blue eyes.
Oh. Oops.
Honey, but listen. So Vincent Lawton, you know, the president of the association.
Vincent Lawton? I thought he was an actor from Lon Chaney. Wasn't he in The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Well, you guys write to him and send him all your, you know,
what's his
piles
name?
Of poo. Vincent Lawton for the Association for the British Pharmaceuticals Industry.
Well, he should get an antisocial behavioral order.
Exactly.
Put him in jail. He should get a personal inordinance.
You know, these are the guys that, you know, like, are preaching the free market, right? So he says, this is not just a blip. I am quite certain that without intervention, the market faces a significant decline. So he's calling for intervention.
Yeah.
Well, you know, where's the free market? They've made a choice. These people have made a choice not to take
drugs.
Okay,
you bring up a good point. Intervention. Okay, here's the story. The U.S. pushes for decision on the Kyoto status. Okay, you've got businessmen who are asking desperately to have the government tell them what the carbon emission limits are going to be in the future so that they can start planning their future growth rates. And, of course, the administration is saying, we don't want to give any limits because we're a free market, which is completely wrong, because the U.S. economy performs within the limitations, very strict limitations of, for example, what happens with the Federal Reserve Bank setting the interest rates and money supply. That's a very strict regulatory environment. If you don't recognize that and respond to it,
yes,
you will not be in business for long. Carbon emissions are a problem that needs to be regulated. It doesn't mean it's anti-capitalism, anti-freedom. It just means that there needs to be some number around which corporations can work around. And the fact
it's
that
like the iambic pentameter.
I'm not sure that that's true, but
Okay, but
in verse, the iambic pentameter is what, five beats, and then followed by
A A B B C C A B C D.
I think you're talking about a syllogism. Well, A no. equals B, B equals no. C, therefore A equals Jo Mama. That's the syllogism from uptown in Harlem.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if the audience knows I used to live in Harlem. I lived in Harlem, Sugar Hill, uptown, 145th Street and Broadway. Shout out to my homeboys, Dr. Terry Terrell and Chris. You know, we used to hang out up at the corner, 145th Street.
Yeah, honey, you had friends. Speaking of that rapping and that
this rude, one rap the, was the, this, Gil Scott Heron.
This is a great story. The Rude Revolution rocks Rio. Rock's new sound is a brash mix of heavy drum beats, eclectic samples, and raunchy lyrics that have horrified many of the middle-class employers of the cooks and maids, which are now starring in funky karaoke.
Look, cooks and maids got some nice butts, man. They should be allowed to rock and shake them to their heart's content.
Well, this is the thing about it, is because apparently in Brazil they're very racist, and these MCs, these young women who are starring in this
funky... Of course they are, because the black women got some nice bunde.
Yeah, but the
they got some nice bunde. It makes all the white men go crazy, and they steal all the white men because they got the bunde.
And they say that in a society that places a high premium on its song and dance stars being beautiful and frequently blonde, it is striking that many women MCs are poor, black, and by their own admission, not pretty. The woman who's most famous down there, she says, "Yeah, I am ugly, but I'm in."
Yeah, well, you know, as Serge Gainsbourg said, he prefers ugly because it lasts longer.
Okay, the woman who is the most famous, she's Tati Homewrecker.
That's her Christian name?
Yeah.
Her given name? Tati Homewrecker? That's an interesting handle. I'd like to meet Mr. and Mrs. Homewrecker. They're here to conduct the social therapy class. What are you talking about? That's nobody's name. That can't be somebody's name.
That's obviously...
Tati Homewrecker.
What do you think, MC Hammer or Puff Daddy? Those are their real names?
Well, it's her stage name, isn't it?
Exactly. Well, that's her stage name, too.
Well, you should have said that, because you said, you know, Julius H. Homewrecker, a citizen of Des Moines, Iowa, was recently... You know, speaking of sex and sperm and all that stuff, I have one of my themes is always what I call eggs and sperm.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Which is kind of like Battle of the Sexes or something. You know, you always find stories about this. So apparently I was reading that men want the companies that manufacture and sell irons, the thing
weightlifting
that you,
irons?
No. You iron your shirt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. They want these companies to start using more macho words like precision, ultimate control.
Why, so they feel more comfortable ironing?
Exactly.
Okay, so, why? What words do they use at present?
Efficient, you know.
Filly, foo-foo.
You know.
Makes your butt look small.
So, I think that what's going on, because of all the pollution in the atmosphere, you know, there's a tremendous gender blending going on.
Yes, yes.
You know, men, I don't care how you market the iron, you know, you're going to end up looking like Freddie Mercury. You know, in that song, I Want to Be Free.
I want to be free.
I don't care if you call it a control iron. You know, if you're wearing stockings and a tiara with a couple of drop earrings, you're not going to look like a manly man, are you?
No.
Here we are at Pigalle, by the way, Paris Live Radio, Le Frick Show, where men are men and the women are also men. And you can be listening to us every day at this time. Canal Satellite Channel 118, News Channel 35, NC Numericable Channel 155. We call this Le Frick Show, which is a double entendre for the French word for money vernacular, I guess.
And the American word for get the frick out of my backyard before I shoot your head off, man.
Yeah. Well, we got a few more topics here, like the Live Aid scandal, for example. You know, Anglo-Saxon model. I've divided my Anglo-Saxon stuff into martyrs, insurrection, predators, and diminishing returns.
Oh, yeah. That
diminishing
sounds like
returns? You want to hear some of that?
Yeah. Let's hear diminishing returns.
You know, Anglo-Saxon model. The problem is that it's encountering now diminishing returns. For example, aircraft noise, they're discovering, is impairing children from learning.
Mm-hmm.
So the more airports they build, the less likely it is they're going to be able to keep children and educate their children, because the children's hearing is being blown out.
Yeah.
So well, this is a diminishing return. So you say you've got GDP growth and you've got airlines and we need more easy jets. Well, you know, the kids, unfortunately, are suffering. They can't hear. They're becoming deaf. They can't be educated. And they become yobs. And then you got to go clean up the yob mess.
Yeah.
So net, you make $1 selling airport access fees, but you spend $2 cleaning up the yob mess.
Yeah.
Net, it's a diminishing return. Capitalism, the Anglo-Saxon model, is diminishing returns. Here's another example. Exposure to industrial pollutants during pregnancy causes damage that's passed on to at least 4 generations.
Wow.
They say
that's going to be a catastrophic result. This could rethink. You're going to have to rethink disease.
4 generations are going to be are impacted from toxic pollution, industrial pollution, to when women who are pregnant come in contact with what is basically our modern world. You can't escape it. If you're pregnant and you're in the UK and America especially, you're going to come in contact with this toxic industrial waste, and you're going to pass on now for 4 generations this problem, which is creating this gender bender problem, because we're seeing it in nature where, you know, you've got hermaphroditic frogs.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, you know, men with their testes are not dropping down.
Yeah.
You know, they're staying.
Actual real men, not froggy men.
That's right. The real men, their testes are not dropping into their
scrotum.
They would
have been real men anyway.
You know, to be technical about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, women are.
Breast cancer. They're having the breast removed.
Yeah. Okay. So you're ending up with this faceless, nameless, homogenized consumer robot brought to you by Microsoft. It just goes out there, mindlessly purchases things on the altar of GDP, no matter how badly it hurts. You know, it's S&M. It's sadism.
Uh-huh.
It's capitalism is sadism. And America is sadist. Now, here's a topic which I have to cover this, which is called the American Satan. America as Satan, or the American Satan.
Oh,
and
really?
You see evidence of this with, like, Michael Jackson. I mean, to me, he's just he's America's Satan.
He's
a guy who is clearly, he's linked to Satan. Can anyone doubt that?
Well, in the old days, somebody would have put a white coat on him and put him in the hospital. He seems like he's mentally disturbed.
And he is the poster child for American pop culture. He's the king of pop.
Yeah.
Who is Satan. We've also got the U.S. current account deficit at 5 points. You know, the U.S. current account deficit is now at $666 billion. 666, the sign of the beast.
Yeah.
It's the sign of the devil.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
America, well, the economy is satanic.
How do you say that? Evangelicals must be, like, really excited by that.
Yeah, because they hope the devil can't come soon enough for that crowd. They can cash in their frequent flyer miles to hell. That's what I say.
Oh, my God. Rock on. Funky karaoke in here. This is La Frick Show.
What else were we talking about? The diminishing returns. This is all about diminishing returns. We got Thomas Friedman. This guy's an ass clown from the New York Times. He's seriously overrated. And we talked about him last show, and I'm going to cut that off now. I don't need to.
Do you want me to Thomas Friedman. In the last 30 seconds? Do you want me to read a letter from an American to The Economist?
Yeah.
They say, "Dear sir, you ask why we Americans work more hours than do Europeans. While the data does show that Americans work more hours in formal jobs, it doesn't follow that Americans work more hours in total. Compared with Europeans, Americans have more time-saving appliances and greater access to time-saving amenities, such as prepared foods." This is why they say they have such better lives. They have prepared foods and more storage in which to store food, rather than going shopping every day for fresh food.
Yeah, save money on your crematorium expenses. Just put yourself in your own freezer and eat what's left. Yeah, see you next time. Bye, y'all.
Bye.